Hello and welcome to the episode 7 of Xbox Mojo. My name is Thomas and this will be a short one. Nintendo held the first Direct of the year. I look forward to Mario Strikers Battle League, Xenoblade Chronicles 3, 48 new tracks for Mario Kart 8 Deluxe and various remasters. For example, Chrono Cross Front Mission or the Klonoa series. It is pleasant, by the way, that Chrono Cross and Klonoa also appear this year on Xbox. Chrono Cross on April 7 for Xbox One and Klonoa Fantasy Reverie series for Xbox One and Series X on July 8. The Klonoa collection includes Klonoa Door to Phantomile and Klonoa 2 Lunati's Veil in remastered versions. The former has only been released for the original PlayStation, but a remake for Wii was also released in 2009. Klonoa 2, on the other hand, is still only available for PS2. You can now catch up on the nice Jump'n'Run series on Xbox. But the reason for this episode is different. Microsoft has published an article called Adapting Ahead of Regulation, a Principled Approach to App Stores. Written by Brad Smith, an American lawyer and technology executive who currently serves as vice chairman and president of Microsoft. In this text, Smith presents new principles for the Microsoft Store and Xbox, thanks to which Microsoft proactively adapts to regulatory expectations. 11 principles Microsoft introduced according to which they wanted to implement self-imposed their app and game stores before they become legal regulations. For example, they are opening up their own stores concerning the free choice of payment channels, except in the Xbox Store, because according to Smith's reasoning, the consoles are sold at a loss and therefore the console business is dependent on prescribed store payment processing. So the company is preemptively showing goodwill toward the authorities, or to put it bluntly, is taking a cuddly approach. And that's necessary because 17 governments worldwide have to go along with this takeover. In the US, the Democrats are currently in power. The Federal Trade Commission, which reviews the takeover, is headed by Lina Khan, who criticized tech giants such as Apple, Amazon, Meta, and Microsoft and keeps a close eye on their activities. But the European Union has to agree, as does Britain. There are good reasons why Microsoft constantly talks about the metaverse when it comes to Activision Blizzard. They simply reckon that the deal has a better chance of going through if it's seen as a competitor to Facebook. That's why Microsoft constantly emphasizes that it would only be number 3 in the video game sector with a market share of only 13%, and 13% is far from a monopoly. Smith points out that they present everything as transparently as possible in the letter. In this way, Microsoft wants to make sure that they don't get any penalties on the one hand and that their planned acquisitions of companies are approved without any conditions on the other hand. Therefore, it is not surprising that Brad Smith discusses the possible takeover of Activision Blizzard in the article and emphasizes that the existing agreements with Sony regarding Call of Duty and other popular Activision Blizzard titles will be upheld and that they will also continue to publish games for the other platforms. Even with Nintendo, they are aiming for similar cooperation. Regarding Activision Blizzard, the following text passage is important and I quote it. First, some commentators have asked whether we will continue to make popular content like Activision's Call of Duty available on competing platforms like Sony's PlayStation. The obvious concern is that Microsoft could make this title available exclusively on the Xbox console, undermining opportunities for Sony PlayStation users. To be clear, Microsoft will continue to make Call of Duty and other popular Activision Blizzard titles available on PlayStation through the term of any existing agreement with Activision. And we have committed to Sony that we will also make them available on PlayStation beyond the existing agreement and into the future so that Sony fans can continue to enjoy the games they love. We are also interested in taking similar steps to support Nintendo's successful platform. We believe this is the right thing for the industry, for gamers, and for our business. End quote. Does this mean that Call of Duty and the other Activision Blizzard games will remain multi-platform? Conditionally, or rather, you have to look at it a bit more closely. What is clear is that Microsoft will honor existing agreements. For some, the statement beyond the existing agreement is new, meaning that games will continue to be published beyond existing agreements. Phil Spencer, CEO of Microsoft Gaming, already announced this on Twitter at the end of January. And I quote, "Had good calls this week with leaders at Sony. I confirmed our intent to honor all existing agreements upon acquisition of Activision Blizzard and our desire to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation. Sony is an important part of our industry and we value our relationship." End quote. On Twitter, everything has to be squeezed into 218 characters. But he already said that they had good talks with Sony, they would honor all existing contracts, and they would desire to stay Call of Duty on PlayStation. That's two things. On the one hand, we honor the contracts. And on the other hand, in addition, we want to stay Call of Duty on PlayStation. That was already the extension of the first fact. Brad Smith just described it in more detail now. And still, it's not all as clear-cut as many media outlets or fans on social media are currently making it out to be. We are, after all, talking about a text written by a lawyer. At first glance, everything seems optimistic, but in detail, of course, some things can be interpreted either way. Strictly speaking, it can still be that Call of Duty stays on PlayStation only means that Call of Duty Warzone and remasters will stay on PlayStation, or that no native versions but Game Pass on PlayStation were meant. It is also interesting that only Call of Duty is mentioned by name, while otherwise only popular Activision Blizzard games are mentioned. What are popular Activision Blizzard games? Only Warcraft, Overwatch, and Diablo? In the end, Microsoft could define these statements however it suits them. Maybe they are saying to themselves that for Crash Bandicoot and Spyro the Dragon, the Nintendo Switch would be a suitable platform, and that's why the games will exist for it. It would make sense because of the target audience, after all. Of course, you could also argue that these series have a great history on PlayStation. Hey, they were the quasi-mascots of the console at PS1 times. So the game are also released for it. But it is not set in stone, and Microsoft now determines which game will be released for the competition. Primarily, since the how is not even defined, strictly speaking, you could only provide streams via xCloud for the competition and still have kept the promise. Microsoft would probably still love to bring their Game Pass service and store to PlayStation. Don't misunderstand. I'm assuming it's currently about native versions for PlayStation and will remain that for the next few years. But it doesn't have to be that way forever. The market is changing, and for Microsoft it's only essential that they determine what happens with Call of Duty and co. in the future. Microsoft must secure the biggest brands in the gaming business for their platform for eternity. They don't have to worry about losing Call of Duty because Tencent or Amazon buys Activision. On the other hand, Sony could lose Call of Duty at some point. If you look far into the future, you will see a future without hardware. I don't know when that will be, but at some point we'll have a Game Pass subscription and be able to use it everywhere, just like a PlayStation subscription. That will probably be the time when Call of Duty will really be exclusive. Because if it's all about subscription growth, I lack faith that Microsoft will allow their best brands on the PlayStation subscription service as well. Currently, you can compare it like Disney Plus. You can continue to buy the new movies on Blu-ray or in third-party stores like iTunes, but they are mostly available via streaming only on Disney Plus. That won't happen within the next 3 or 5 years, and in that time, native versions for PlayStation will probably come out. Which games will those be? In the end, that just depends on the financial outlook. And here we are at the right topic. You've probably heard that Call of Duty Vanguard underperformed sales expectations. Nevertheless, Activision Blizzard achieved record numbers of $8.8 billion in 2021. Call of Duty Mobile alone is responsible for $1 billion of that. And even though Activision Blizzard doesn't release many games per year, Diablo II Resurrected became Blizzard's best-selling remaster within a comparable period. Activision, primarily Call of Duty, had 107 million monthly active users, down from 119 million in the previous quarter. Blizzard's games came in at 24 million monthly active users, a drop of 2 million. King and the mobile division around Candy Crush managed 240 million active users, dropping from the previous 245 million. So in total, Activision Blizzard could boast 371 million monthly players, and that's still a huge number. And what do all those players do? They buy DLCs and microtransactions. A mount for World of Warcraft, status boost in Candy Crush, or cosmetic weapons for Call of Duty Warzone. With so many players, it adds up to a lot, and in fact, of the $8.8 billion in revenue, a whopping $5.1 billion is just DLCs and microtransactions. That's why publishers are so hot to release multiplayer or live service games. The retail price of the games isn't even the revenue driver anymore. It's the microtransactions. And that's precisely why it makes sense for Call of Duty and World of Warcraft or Overwatch to remain multi-platform titles. Because at the end of the day, Microsoft is a business enterprise and wants to recoup the almost $70 billion invested in Activision Blizzard at some point. Otherwise, the shareholders will also ask unpleasant questions at some point. So even though they've strictly kept the back door of exclusivity open, I assume Call of Duty as a whole will remain multi-platform, just like the other service games like Overwatch. If World of Warcraft does come to consoles, it will probably be on all consoles where it's technically possible. So everywhere where multiplayer and the esports scene are important, you want to have a large audience to earn themselves silly on microtransactions. That's why Sony also lets Bungie continue to be a multi-platform studio, since Bungie will probably only develop live service games, currently one of the most significant gaps in PlayStation's portfolio. What should be clear is that time-exclusive content or exclusive betas for PlayStation regarding Call of Duty will come to an end once existing contracts expire. Also, all Call of Duty commercials or print campaigns will always feature Xbox or Game Pass logos. Microsoft will do everything it can to market even the multi-platform game so that everyone knows that the best gaming experience for these games will be on Xbox or Game Pass. I've already talked about game series like Crash Bandicoot and Spyro, and Microsoft could be of the opinion that they have better sales chances if they are also sold on Nintendo or PlayStation systems. But Xbox always has the advantage that these day one games end up in Game Pass, so you can play them for 10 or 30 euros a month instead of buying them for 60, 70 or 80 euros. Microsoft will respect existing contracts, and two games come to my mind, Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4. Overwatch 2 has been announced for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and PC. Diablo 4 has been confirmed for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. So for these systems, these games are definitely coming. But what about the PS5? We could get a situation like with Psychonauts 2, where legacy contracts ensured a PS4 release, but that didn't stop Microsoft from commissioning an Xbox Series X version, and since then Psychonauts 2 has been next-gen or current-gen exclusive to Xbox Series X. So imagine Diablo 4 coming out for Xbox Series X and PS4, but not PS5. This would be a situation entirely consistent with Microsoft's statement that they will continue to bring games to PlayStation. I'm not saying this will be the case with Diablo 4. I just want to show it as an example that just not everything is as clear as it seems at first glance. These games may also come to PS5, but it's not a mandatory. However, I assume that new brands will be exclusive unless they have a multiplayer focus. Let's take the new survival game Blizzard announced as an example. We don't know what it's called. We know two artworks. It is supposed to be a survival game, and it will be the first new Blizzard brand since 2016 when they released Overwatch. I am not a big fan of survival games, as they usually lack of story. This is why I'm excited about Grounded by Obsidian. A good campaign in a survival game would have something for me. But that's exactly what I would trust Blizzard to do, especially since Craig Emmy, an old veteran who previously worked for many years as the lead quest designer for World of Warcraft, is in charge of development. The concept drawing has done it for me. On one you see a forest and mountains, bicycles and skyscrapers. Two teenagers dressed in modern clothes are looking toward a flying castle, while the other artwork shows a person in fully fantasy garb with boots, a sword, a helmet and fur cape. There's a mix of modern and fantasy here that appeals to me. But we don't know if it's a co-op game, though that seems likely based on the two youngsters. So I don't know if it's fall into the multiplayer category, which could be the more multi-platform, or primarily single player with some co-op. What is noticeable in the job ad is that it talks about a game for PC and console, but not consoles, so plural. I may be reading too much into it, or it's just a very early hint at exclusivity. New brands, new IPs that are more in the single player area can definitely become exclusive. This is because there is no additional monetization through microtransactions, which is why you don't have to rely on a large mass of players. Instead, these titles could simply serve as advertising for the diversity of the Game Pass offer. After all, don't forget that Microsoft primarily wants to sell Game Pass subscriptions. And that's also the difference with the Bethesda deal at this point. Why is Starfield exclusive to Xbox, PC and Game Pass? Well, Microsoft sees this role-playing game, Bethesda's first new brand in 25 years, as a potential Game Pass draw. The very game people subscribe to the service for. It's also important to remember that most games from Bethesda don't have microtransactions. And the one that do, like Fallout 76 or Elder Scrolls Online, are multi-platform. Even Redfall may be as free of microtransactions as possible, despite co-op, which is why the exclusivity pays off. And although Bethesda has belonged to Microsoft for almost 1 year, Quake Remaster was released as a multi-platform title and Skyrim Anniversary Edition for the other consoles. Probably legacy contracts in Skyrim, and because of Quake Remaster, no one gets a Game Pass subscription. So there will be no definitive answer as to what will be exclusive and what will not. often enough, it will be case-by-case decisions, at least when it comes to well-known brands. New brands will more often be exclusive than non-exclusive because in the end, Microsoft wants to strengthen Game Pass. And the latter is the biggest winner anyway. Because even if most Activision Blizzard games would also be released for PlayStation, the unbeatable advantage would remain. Buy the game for PS5 for 70 or 18 euros or subscribe to Game Pass for a maximum of 13 euros a month. This business model already made me, as a frequent gamer, think twice about buying a new game. And if it costs 18 euro, like the PS5 games, I think about it 3 or 4 times, simply because that's a price segment where I certainly don't make impulse purchases anymore. That's why I still don't know whether I buy Horizon Forbidden West at launch or not. I'm so glad that I don't have this issue in the Xbox ecosystem, as I can simply play all future games from Xbox Game Studios, Bethesda, Akin, Machine Games, id Software, Activision and Blizzard on day one at no additional cost, thanks to my Game Pass subscription. And with the concessions Microsoft has made, I wouldn't be surprised anymore if the Activision Blizzard acquisition can be completed well before summer 2023, maybe even by the end of 2022. In any case, I'd be happy if things don't take too long so that we can all soon start caring more about video games again too. That should have been it for this week. Thanks for listening. The future is bright and the mojo is coming back. Until next time, your Thomas.